Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
There's a statistic that says when a man reads to a child, it helps the child remember. It's more stimulating, very powerful when a father or a male reads to the child.
Literacy is a crucial skill for our students. In this episode of The Waco Experience, an American Story, Tracy Guillory and Kelly Cunningham share about Lit Waco joining forces with Comic Fest Waco for a literacy event coming February 28th to University High School. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors. Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality. Smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets are available for delivery when you are ready. Call 254-744-0938 and visit the website qualitycabinetstx.com. Comic Fest Waco. Syntax Teen Book Fest and Comic Fest Waco join forces Saturday, February 28th in support of literacy. Over 20 young adult authors come to ignite the imaginations of teen readers. There will be author panels sharing their insights and stories, offering a glimpse into their creative worlds. Experience a day filled with literary magic. Learn more online at litwaco.org, presentgifting.com. Imagine never forgetting an event for those important people in your lives. Because relationships are important and moments matter, Present Gifting is a free service to send you gentle reminders of birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, and more. Register today at presentgifting.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend JB James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army and his team at Hot TV, amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Military Creator Con, April 16th to 18th in Arlington. Military Creator Con is a movement that unites military-connected visionaries across art, media, and entrepreneurship. A multi-day forum where service members, veterans, families, and supporters discover new tools, share expertise, and celebrate their collective creativity. Register today and use the code SCOTT10 to receive a discount at militarycreatorcon.com. D. Scott here at University High School. It is a beautiful day in February, and I am here with Kelly Cunningham and Tracy Guillory. We're going to be talking about Lit Waco and Comic Fest Waco. They've joined together last year. Comic Fest Waco is the first Comic Fest Waco event, and we're going to talk about what that means. But essentially, it helps students learn to read, keep reading, enjoy reading. So let's get an introduction.
Yes, my name is Kelly Cunningham, and I'm the school librarian at University High School. And I'm also the lead librarian for Waco ISD. I've been in education for a while, all in Waco, and I love our Waco community.
And Tracy, tell me about your world. What's going on?
Well, my name is Tracy Guillory. I am the co-founder of Lit Waco, which is Literacy Intervention Team Waco, and I am the organizer of Syntex Team Book Fest on the Brazos. And Lit Waco started about 2015. My husband, Keith Guillory, who is a board member for Waco ISD, Independent School District, he went to Harmon's, Jamaica on a mission and saw the need for education and saw the need for literacy and came back and saw how much we had here. And he said, you know what, we need to start something. We essentially started funding education for students in Harmon, Jamaica. It turned into him wanting to get back into the schools here. And he said, you know, I want to start a nonprofit. Now, he dreams all these dreams up, and then he's like, okay, here, babe, here you go. you can do something with that, right? And so he said, I want to start a nonprofit, which was, we named it Literacy Intervention Team Waco. From Literacy Intervention Team Waco, we got into the school district with Waco ISD, started doing summer reading programs at Carver Middle School, and then that turned into drop everything and read for 30 minutes a day with Principal McAdoo. That kept on for a few years, and then through the change of principalship and then the change with Carver and Indian Springs United, we wanted to keep Lit Waco within Waco ISD. And so we're like, okay, well, let's do a book fest. You know, we have a lot of students that are going to Round Rock or going to Austin, trying to travel to Houston or going to the North Texas Teen Book Fest or Corpus Christi. Why don't we offer something for our community right here at home? That was the birth of the book fest. And so here we are 4 years later and partnering with Waco ISD last year and this year and making it even better and bigger for the community. Now it's Syntex Teen Book Fest on the Brazos and Waco Comic Fest. It's really exciting and it's going to be really epic for the community. So we're glad.
So let's talk about when the event is and where.
The event is at University High School right here in our community in Waco, Texas. It's actually a two-day event. And so the first day we have author sneak peek visits. Some of our authors and artists are going to be going to the middle schools and elementary school and high school here to just kind of get the students excited the day before from 2:30 to 4 o'clock. And then the big event is on Saturday, February the 28th. Doors open at 9:30, so we encourage everyone to get there early. It starts promptly at 10 o'clock and it's over about 3 o'clock.
I had the chance to come to Comic Fest Waco last year. There was authors from all over.
Yes, through Texas Library Association, we have a conference every year. All the sessions that are about author visits, I feel like I always try to go to because I've just always known when kids meet the author, it's just so memorable for them and they feel so connected to that text. And there was one session where they had said, find someone in the community. You have to partner with your community. If you try to do it all on your own as a librarian, it's so difficult. It's hard to pay for these people because there's many, if you get someone who's really well known, you know, they have day rates upwards to $2,500, $5,000 to come and do a school visit. And that's just not feasible when you have so many campuses and you want to share the love amongst all of the campuses. And so what he had said was find a community partner so that they can help with the funding, number one, and then also stick local, like find people in your state, find people in your area, find people within an hour or two driving distance, because these people will not charge you for transportation. You don't have to pay for their flights. You might not have to pay for a hotel for them if they're just coming for the day and going right back. So he said, start with local. And so that was really important when I told one of our teachers, Matt Menifee. He has really been a passion behind Comic Fest Waco. He had a lot of connections in the Comic Fest world, people who were artists, authors. It's a passion of his. And so we had often talked about having graphic artists come to university. How can we work that out? And so he was sort of, even though he's a teacher here, he kind of became my community connection because he had that investment and that passion, and he had the connection to a lot of these artists. And so he really helped me make it even bigger than what I had envisioned last year. And Matt Menifee is definitely still, you know, a part of our project and will be there on the day of the event. But we stuck with people who were local, and he knew a lot of local artists. And so that was just really neat, seeing how people from Austin, people from San Antonio, you know, people from Dallas. And then, of course, you know, we have a lot of talented artists even here in Waco, you know, and they wanted to be a part of the event. And so using that as kind of like our guiding vision is just stick with local, you know, see who is able to come and volunteer their time, who is passionate about speaking to kids about what they do as well. That was how we were able to make it happen and bring so many authors in.
Having local artists and authors, I think, makes it more real for the students. Mm-hmm. And those who have a desire, a passion, an interest in maybe writing themselves or doing artwork, they get to see somebody who's local as opposed to someone coming from out of the area. Let's talk about literacy itself and how comic books, graphic novels, reading in general, what's going on with literacy for our students?
As a former English teacher, you know, and someone who just always loved libraries growing up, you know, that had so much to do with my passion for reading and literature, you know, just being little, and we didn't do a lot of stuff that cost money. We were always at the library. We always checked out movies from the library. We were always at the central library growing up. We moved to Waco when I was, I think, four, and it was just a normal thing for us. And so I've just always loved libraries, and it became very natural for me to just love reading. But when I became a teacher, it was just so hard to see so many kids who really didn't like reading, or they would say, right, I'm not a reader. And that was such a common thing, was that there was so... And even now, I would say it's even fewer kids that I come across as the librarian will really claim to be a reader, you know, quote, unquote. And they just don't feel comfortable reading because they haven't really had that joy of reading since they were little. I have always, anytime I do my library orientation, I'll tell them, you know what, when you were little and you read with your parents, if you were lucky enough to read with your parents when you were a kid, nobody forced you to read. You loved it. I promise you, you loved it. Because that's how you start, is you're sitting on your parents' lap, or you have that nighttime, that special time with your parents, and it creates those warm associations. It's positive memories with reading. And then it's hard because we get into school and reading just becomes a different thing. You know, it becomes more of a forced activity where you only associate it with testing. And so I tell them when they come in, it's like, I want you to go back to how you felt when you were young, like when you read when you were young. You know, it's understandable that you get distracted in middle school, you know, and you start having different interests. And it's normal to kind of lose your love of reading a little bit in middle school. That's pretty typical. But I want to bring it back. Now that you're in high school, you're older, you really need to make time for it. And I also say there's no such thing as junk reading. That's what we say. You know, you think of junk food. You know, it's not good okay. for you. But yeah. It's a quote from Stephen Krashen. He's a kind of a literacy expert that, you know, you learn when you're an English major or library science major. Okay. But he says there's no such thing as junk reading. Any reading you do is good for you. Mm-hmm. So there's not junk food reading. It's all reading is good for you. And it goes towards the way you view reading and your literacy as an adult. And so it does not matter if you go back to that book that you read in middle school or even in late elementary years. If you really liked Diary of a Wimpy Kid and that's the last time you felt happy reading, go back to something that you loved. Don't think of it as a baby book or a kid book, because I read tons of children's books and elementary books, Caldecott Winners, you know, Blue Bonnet books when I was in college for going to school to be a librarian, and I loved them. And it was just like, oh, I can't believe I missed that. You know, I missed this one from way back when, and I still enjoyed the reading. I was like, some of my favorite books are from elementary, and I would recommend any of them to you, even though you're a high school student. So don't think, oh, reading's too hard. Find something where you can just swallow it, you mm-hmm. know, just like drink it up. It's not hard. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. And once you kind of get back to that feeling where it's not difficult, it's just fun, like you will find that you really do love reading. Yeah. Either way, in graphic novels, back to the concept of graphic novels, they can be a bridge, you know, back to that joy of reading. Mm-hmm. You say you don't like reading, but I have a lot of students who will pick up a graphic novel before they pick up, you know, a 300-page yeah. novel.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes is, rereading an old book is like visiting an old friend.
I have heard that.
Yeah. One of the things I like about graphic novels is the imaging, because it provides context. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn a new language, you have context mm-hmm. through the images. And so it helps to expand your vocabulary that way. So let's talk about just the benefits for students who are maybe struggling reading, for parents who struggle to read out loud to their kids. Let's talk about how graphic novels and comic books help.
Mm-hmm. They work a lot the way picture books do. You know, half of your comprehension comes from the images. And And so you really do have to look closely at each panel. You know, you're looking at the facial expressions, you're looking at, you know, whether it's in color or it's in black and white. Sometimes only certain things are in color. You know, you're looking at how big the text is, you know, or what the image is trying to focus on. And so even though students feel like it's more accessible because there aren't as many words, there really still is, you know, a lot of thinking that goes into just understanding a graphic novel and the order in which to read it. And just because there are few words doesn't mean, honestly, that means they have to be even more choosy. They have to craft it that much better because they are not using as many words. So they have to be more choosy about the words that they're using to describe a certain event or a certain character's feelings. I mean, really, students have to be taught how to read graphic novels. That doesn't necessarily come supernaturally. You know, sometimes it can be confusing.
I think it was Mark Twain that said, "Sorry, I apologize for the long letter. I didn't have time to write a short one." So it is hard to narrow down. I want to talk about our neurodiverse population as well, and how this movement with Lit Waco and Comic Fest Waco help all of our students.
Mm-hmm. I would say, honestly, you know, a lot of times neurodivergent students are so much more straightforward. And so they get really kind of overwhelmed by all of the words, all of the text, or they feel like information is unnecessary.
Oh, I had a friend whose daughter, when you looked at a page of just text, the lines between the words, the you know,
the rivers,
the little rivers,
they would see rivers.
Oh my gosh, that became the focus.
Yes, that is definitely a thing, and it can be super distracting. Again, it all comes back to the idea of accessibility. A graphic novel is just like their attitude changes when it comes to a graphic novel because it feels so much more accessible, even though they're still doing just as much thinking, just as much like work on comprehension of text, and they have the ability then to discuss the characters and the development of the story and all the skills that you need to actually read and the things that the state of Texas says you need to do this in English class. You know, you can still do those same skills and learn those same skills, but using a graphic novel text.
Today on the Waco Experience in American Story, I'm at University High School with Tracy Guillory and Kelly Cunningham. There was a time your husband went to Jamaica and brought back inspiration. Let's continue on with that. What families can do, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles.
Yeah, speaking of grandparents, another inspiration that prompted my husband to even go on a mission trip to Jamaica and start a nonprofit organization or even tap into literacy was he was raised by his grandparents. At the age of 14, his mother had him. And so she was a very young parent, and she did absolutely amazing. You know, she did the best that she could, but she couldn't do everything that she wanted to for him being a young mother. He went to live with his grandparents, and he kind of got passed through the school system from primary to secondary school because he was an amazing athlete. And so if you're an athlete, you know, back in where we grew up in Houston, it's like, hey, you make sure that you kind of pass this student along because athletics is a big deal, you know, especially football. And so it got to the point to where there was a point in time where he needed to do a project. And I believe the book was A Scarlet Letter. He was struggling to read it. And his grandmother had told him, hey, you know, go in your room and read this book and, you know, and do this report. And he was stuck on the first page. And she said, read the book, read it to me. You know, I'm not understanding why you're not further along. He tried to read it and he stumbled through it. And he was in the ninth grade by this time. And she said, baby, you can't read. And she sat there and she read that book to him from cover to cover. He listened like an audiobook. You know, audiobooks back then didn't exist.
So
but she was
grandma
his audiobook.
Was the audiobook. I
she
love
was
it.
His audiobook, yes. And he listened to that story, and he did that report, but he got a B on that report. And that was the spark of him being able to tap into literacy. He could not read at that point, but he had an imagination. So as he's listening to this audiobook, and I think we get away from that as parents because everything is so visual and accessible with social media and things of that nature. And cell phones, but we get away from tapping in or helping our kids tap into their imagination by you reading a chapter book or you reading something that you can't just physically see. Got to tap into that imagination. And so that's what she did for him. And that was the start of something great. He got through high school. You know, he started becoming a better reader, started being more interested in literacy. And it started with him with her reading to him. So moving forward, we have two older kids. We have three total, a 24, 22, and 12-year-old. From that moment, what my husband adopted was always reading to our kids. But there's a statistic that says when a man reads to a child, it helps the child either remember, or it's more stimulating, or, you know, it's something that is very powerful when a father or a male reads to the child.
I can tell you from my experience with our three kids.
Yes.
Reading to them was one of the best bonding times. Just go through those great stories, The Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start reading them.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that there's a lot more richness.
Yes, in the book. And even now, our 12-year-old who's getting ready to be 13, she has certain books that her and her dad only read, and certain authors like James Patterson, and, you know, and they'll grab these books and then he'll pick up the book on a evening and say, "All right, let's go." And they'll get their pillows and prop it up all in the living room, and they'll sit there, and I'm listening. I'm probably cleaning up, or I'm doing something very quietly, of course, because I still want to hear the story. I don't want to be disruptive. But they're reading together, and she's sitting there, and he's reading to her, and she's listening to this story. And it's like, and while I'm listening as an adult, I'm imagining what's going on as well. And they're like, okay, they'll read about three or four chapters. I'm like, what are y'all doing? The book is getting good. Like, don't stop, you know? So it just turns into a family affair. And I heard you speak on this earlier. You're like, how can families still make a reading exciting or literacy exciting, you know, for individuals? And it's like, get involved. That's the core of it. Get involved into your child's education. And if you can't get involved, there are resources and programs that can help you get involved. Get involved in your child's literacy and read things that are piquing your interest, but things that you like as a family. I remember when I was younger, I loved to sing. And so my mother, I wasn't a reader then. Surprisingly, no. And my mom got me this book saying the title was Mama, I Wanna Sing. I absolutely loved that book. And I think that was maybe one of maybe 10 books that I finished when I was in grade school. But I love that book, and I would go back to that book today. I would see it at like half price bookstores and I would just sit there, open it and read it. It's a great book, but it's something that I love doing. And so if they can find something, a book or an artist or, you know, a comic book, graphic novel, something that gravitates to them and something that they love doing, it, like, you know, when you connect with an artist or you connect with an author because you can find yourself relatable in their story or in their book, that makes it more exciting for anyone to want to pick it up and read it because they can see themselves in the story.
The best advice that I got when I was going into college from my uncle was learn how to learn. And in today's world, we know things are changing so fast for our students that the jobs that they're going to have to support themselves and their family likely do not exist today. Mm-hmm. And so they can't go and learn to do something because it doesn't exist yet. Right. But they do need to learn how to learn. So as we wind down, I'd like to hear about the future. How do we encourage our students? How do we encourage the families and build a strong future for everybody here in Waco, Central Texas, mm-hmm. and the United States?
Well, just in terms of reading and just what families can do, just know that it's okay if your child goes up and down in their reading journey. You know, as a librarian, like, I worry about my own kids. I have two middle schoolers and that they don't read enough or that they both claim to not be readers right now. Mom, I'm just not a reader. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I have to remember, too. I know so many adults who read and would never have called themselves a reader in school. But they really did have adults in their life who tried to make reading a positive thing in general, you know, where they had positive experiences with reading and stories. And so it's really all about storytelling. And that's why I really try to draw my kids in, like, but this is such a good story. Like, did you hear about the book that was this, you know, or connect it to a movie, something else, you know, that piques their interest. And so just keep reading a positive thing. Keep providing your students opportunities, mm-hmm. and they may come around again. They're going to go up and down. And just like, I don't only read classics, you know, I read all kinds of things. They might not like the same books you like, and that's totally okay. Graphic novels, comics, and even reading. I would read the New York Times daily every morning, you know, just to get the headlines. That's about 15 minutes of reading I do every day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you just never know where you're going to get your reading in. Make it positive, keep it positive, and they will come back around. They will find something that they like.
If I always like to end on a very upbeat note. Wind
an
us
upbeat
up.
Note. Well, I want to get the community excited about the event. The event is a great opportunity to bring not just your primary students, not just your secondary students, but the entire family. Because we have children authors, we have middle grade young adult authors, we have just a few adult authors, and we also have comic book artists, we have comic book illustrators and publishers. And I mean, it's all about literacy, the fun of literacy, having a great time, meeting the artists and the authors behind the books that they're publishing and they're in the comics that they're creating. And that is one thing that is just amazing to me, because even though I was able to find books that I had an interest in, I never got the opportunity to meet the author behind the story. You know, it's always good to hear, why did you write that story? What inspired you to put this in the story? What made you write this character? What made you draw this character? Like, just getting into their heads and just having all these questions answered, and then also meeting them and seeing the interest that they have that is relatable to you. And then later on, getting a book signed or getting a comic book signed, and then you're able to pass that on to your kids or have a collection or gift it to someone. I mean, it's an amazing experience. And so I'm excited that the community is going to be able to experience it on even a more epic level with both events combined. And I also want to make sure that we thank the organizers. We thank Matt Menefee, who has been very strategic in getting authors and artists and illustrators and even scheduling this podcast for us to even talk about it on there and advertise and market for it. And Kelly Cunningham, who's behind the brains behind the library services and Waco ISD. And she's been very instrumental in helping. And then, you know, just the community itself. Like, we do this for you all. You know, we don't do this for ourselves. We don't do it to get the glory or to show any shine or honor for us. We do this for the community to have these types of opportunities. And thank, you know, Waco ISD and Dr. Spicer and Dr. Johnson. It's just a lot of people and all of our sponsors. So we've had countless sponsors that are going to be recognized at the event. And we just want to say thank you for allowing us to be able to do this. And we couldn't do this without all of the community support here and abroad. And so we're thankful and we're excited and we're ready to get started.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.